All right, we are reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 16. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. It's my privilege to help us focus on that passage this morning and learn and grow from it. Let's pray together, asking for God's help. Father, we thank you so much that we can gather as your people, as the body of Christ. We thank you that you are present with us, doing your work in us to equip us and to help us serve and grow as the body of Christ, as we seek to grow mature. Father, please continue to do that work in us this morning, now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have a son who is almost two, and although I may be biased, I think many would probably agree that he's very, very cute, especially at the moment. Often, what makes him so adorable is seeing him as a child trying to do grown-up things, right? That's what little kids are always trying to do, is trying to imitate us. And I absolutely love this stage of children, seeing the explosion of new things that he learns and tries. But if my goal was to keep him as an infant because he's so cute, right, I'd be a bad parent, wouldn't I? The purpose or the goal of parenting is to help your child grow to maturity. And a lot of that happens quite naturally in some ways, that a baby will just simply grow and get bigger and more capable. But of course, the parent needs to keep giving the infant food and sleep and warmth and love. We need to help them grow physically stronger at various stages. There's lots of instruction and guidance, lots of answers to the question why. There's discipline. There's giving them responsibilities, letting them try things out as they get older. And if you do all of that and much more, I hope, if you do all of that consistently and reasonably well, they will hopefully grow to maturity. Right? They'll grow to become a full-grown, mature adult. Well, that's the goal of this passage as well. A few weeks ago, we looked at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4, which emphasizes the unity of the church, and the metaphor that Paul especially uses in Ephesians is that of the church being the body of Christ. Eight times he refers to the body of Christ. And now in verse 13, he refers to becoming mature. And in verse 14, he says, then we'll no longer be infants. That's the goal, right? To become mature. Actually, the phrase become mature in verse 13 is literally a mature man. It's singular, and it's the word for an adult male rather than just the general word for a human. And that's important to note because he's referring here to the whole church. As a body, the whole church becomes a mature man, an adult. And it continues there, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Again, a word is left out. It's to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Because we are his body, Christ's body, we are to fill his shoes, so to speak. Right? We need to grow up to Christ's height and build. Yet, of course, this maturity that we're aiming for is spiritual rather than physical. Now I emphasize this because so that we don't lose the corporate nature of this. This is not simply talking about individuals growing in maturity. It's the whole body of Christ, the church, and where to grow to maturity collectively. And yet, of course, there is still an individual aspect to it as well. Each of us do still need to grow in maturity. Verse 14 refers to infants in the plural. So each of us have an individual responsibility and a corporate responsibility to grow from infancy to maturity as the body of Christ. Well, how do we do that? There's two main ways that this happens in this passage. Two things that Christ does to help his body grow to maturity. It's these. Christ gives grace and Christ gives growth. Or you could say it's grace for growth. So firstly, Christ gives grace so that the body is equipped to serve and grow in maturity. Verse 7 says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." The grace here probably refers to spiritual gifts. The wording is similar to Romans 12, verse 6. He says, "There we all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." Here it is as Christ apportioned it. If you are part of the body, you have received grace from Christ in order for you to serve in the body, to serve the body, for all of us to be serving. And verses 8 to 10 gives the basis for this by quoting Psalm 68, verse 18. In Psalm 68, it celebrates the Lord God having defeated all his enemies. He then ascends Mount Zion in Jerusalem up to the temple to reign and dwell in the midst of his people. And he receives gifts, the spoils of victory, which he can then in turn distribute to his people. Well, here Paul assigns that role to Christ in verses 9 to 10. Christ is the one who has ascended. But first he says Christ also is the one who has descended to the lower earthly regions. That either means just simply to the earth, referring to his incarnation where he became human, or to the realm of the dead, which back then was considered below or under the earth. There's debate over it. Either way, this descent that Christ made is his rescue mission. The mission to rescue you and I. Christ descended to earth as a man, even descended to the grave in order to defeat our enemies of sin and death, but also of every evil power in the universe. He defeats them all through his death and resurrection. He's victorious over his enemies and has ascended above the heavens. Ephesians 1 refers to this, where Christ is raised and ascended, and God places everything under his feet. He's over every spiritual power. He is now the sovereign Lord of the universe, and he gives gifts to his people. This is the grace which is given to each one of us as Christ apportioned it. But then Paul turns focus he shifts focus to just some of those gifts. In verse 11, he says, "So Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. In Ephesians 2, the apostles and prophets are, he refers to as the foundation of the church. And Ephesians 3 says that God has revealed the mystery of Christ to the apostles and prophets. The prophets are the New Testament prophets. The apostles and the New Testament prophets, they have the role in establishing the church and in providing new revelation from God for the church, new revelation about Christ. And so it's through them that we have the New Testament. The next three roles are ongoing today. Not providing new revelation from God, but preaching and teaching the word of God that came from those first two. So evangelists are those who are particularly gifted in proclaiming the gospel. We have someone coming to Perth in next month, who I think is one of these people who are gifted as an evangelist. Pastor is the Latin word for shepherd, right? It's those who care for the flock. It's those who lead and care for local congregations. Teachers, of course, teach the word of God and especially the gospel. But even evangelists and shepherds include teaching in their ministry. Shepherds or pastors, they are to feed the sheep the word of God. So these five together are sometimes referred to as the word ministry gifts or the word gifts. That is, a core part of their service has to do with the word of God. And what's their purpose? Why does Christ give some to have these roles? It's to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. This is really important. It's not the responsibility of a few to build up the body. It's the responsibility of all of us to be building up the body. The church should be more like, not be like a sports stadium where you have players down on the field and they're doing all the work and then lots of people around just as spectators. That's not what the church is like. We need to think of ourselves all as the players on the field. But some players will have a role of equipping other players. And this equipping for works of service, it occurs through the preaching and teaching of God's word. In particular, through proclaiming the gospel, because it is through the message of Christ especially that we're going to keep being unified and built up in Christ to grow in maturity to the stature of Christ. This is why a key part of our gathering is the sermon, isn't it? And that's been true for the church gathering down through the ages. It's the teaching, preaching of God's word is central, because that is how God's people are equipped to serve God. So do you have this mindset when you come to church? Are you coming seeking to be equipped by God's word to serve? You know, we'll come to what that service looks like shortly, but that mindset is what every single one of us should have as we're coming to church. Sure, we come to worship, to fellowship together, but we come to be equipped to serve God. Now, the equipping doesn't only happen through service, through sermons, and it doesn't only happen through paid staff either. It can happen through Bible studies and in one-to-one Bible reading and so on. It means that those gifted as shepherds and teachers, people might have gifts in that extend beyond those who are given official roles in that as in the church. Now, the purpose of this equipping for the work of service is bodybuilding, right? Paul likes to mix his metaphors. Early on, he talks about us as the building, but also as the body, and then he mixes them. We're to build up the body. We apparently like to mix our metaphors as well. We've already seen that the goal of this bodybuilding is to grow in maturity so that we're no longer infants. Well, what does that look like? Verse 13 says, it's until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Unity in the faith is all about doctrine. It's about the content of what we believe. We need to be growing in the knowledge of what God's word teaches. And that is what will grow us to maturity. But we also need to reach unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. This is our common experience of knowing Christ. And because he's a person, this knowledge is relational as well. Growing up, I was a huge fan of Michael Jordan. I followed him kind of through his peak in the 90s. I could say, you know, I know Michael Jordan. At the time, I could have told you all about his career, his stats. I could tell you some things about his life, his love of golf and family and so on. But really, that would only mean that I know about Michael Jordan. But when I say I know my wife Kylie, that is relational and experiential knowledge. It is personal. And it's in that latter sense that we need to be growing in the knowledge of the Son of God. Right? Knowing Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the one who is so gracious to us, who forgives us, who knows what it is to live a life on this earth and to struggle with temptation and suffering. We need to grow in knowing him, and we also grow in doing that together. This unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God is what becoming mature is. All of us together as a body, growing into the kind of man Christ was, to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And we need to grow so that we don't remain as infants. Verse 14. Now, we're given a picture here of a tiny little sailboat. Can you picture this, what Paul gives us? This little sailboat on this vast sea, but then the storm kind of comes and it's being tossed back and forth by the waves. Perhaps that's referring to the hardships in life. It's being blown here and there by the wind, which he makes clear is referring to the teaching that can lead us off course. If we are immature in Christ, then hardships can really knock us for six, can't it? Can't they? They can really shake our faith. If we're infants in Christ, then false teaching can lead us astray, because infants are gullible. You can play games with them and get them to believe what you want to believe, want them to believe very easily. And so we need to grow in maturity so that we don't remain infants. Let me give you three examples of this, particularly teaching. One way that would come is when people they accept and teach about Jesus, but they deny some other aspect of what the Bible teaches, right? And it isn't long before it skews their theology. For example, some people especially don't like teaching on God's judgment or on hell. You know, Jesus is all about love, they'll say. You know, it's true that Jesus' love is absolutely incredible, isn't it? It's displayed in his sacrificial death for us. But if someone starts questioning or causes you to question or deny God's judgment, that will start to undermine what the cross has achieved for us. That's dangerous teaching. And another way, other people talk about Christianity and the Christian life, but Jesus is just largely left out of it. You know, they might pay plenty of lip service to Jesus, but he isn't actually central. And Christianity turns into largely just into moralism. We need to watch out for these kinds of false teaching or these kinds of teaching that can lead us astray, and much more than just those examples. And especially since we live in an information and technological age, we have access to teaching all over the world, don't we? And because of this environment that we live in, my third example is actually outside the church. Don't forget that our culture is teaching us all the time. It's giving It's giving us a worldview, a lens through which to view the world and a way to live. It's teaching us a completely different set, or a largely different set, of values and morals than Christ. Every time you turn on the TV or YouTube or Netflix, every time you go to university, all of that. We can't step away from all that. We need to be part of the world and engage, but understand that it is teaching you as well. And so because of this, we need to grow in maturity together as the body of Christ so that these things can't knock us off course. I want you to picture a different vessel on the sea. Not that little sailboat, the individual one of us as a little sailboat. I want you to picture a large ship with lots of ballast, lots of weight in the bottom of it, right? So those waves crashing into it don't even make it sway at all. The wind howling against it cannot turn it off course. That's the church growing in maturity. Christ gives us grace so that the body is equipped to serve and grow in maturity. And secondly, this is a little bit shorter, Christ gives growth as the interconnected parts of his body serve in truth and love. So remember, you know, none of us should be spectators in the stands. We're all players on the field, or to continue that marine analogy, we need to think of the church more like a rescue ship than a cruise ship. Right? On a cruise ship, lots of people are there just to relax and enjoy life while others serve. On a rescue ship, it's all hands on deck. All of us are doing the ministry of the church. And here's where we start to see what it looks like practically. Verse 15, he says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. You see, the goal there is still to grow in maturity. And then from him, verse 16, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. From him, the whole body grows. Christ is the source of this growth. But how does he bring about this growth? By the interconnected unity that we have, and by each part doing its work. You know, we're joined and held together by every supporting ligament, it says. Ligaments fits the body metaphor well, but the word actually is probably not quite that specific. It's every supporting connection in the body. We are unified into one body, and so we need to be committed to each other so that we have lots of interconnections between us all. And I think we should aim to have it not just with people who are like us in age or circumstances of life or cultural backgrounds. Most likely you'll be more connected to the people who are similar to you. But let's make it a priority to keep getting to know everybody as much as we can. Jesus has united us in one body so that there's lots and lots of interconnections. This means that if you're trying to do Christianity alone, without making connections with the rest of God's people, you're not going to grow much in maturity very well, are you? Because Christ's method is to grow the body in maturity together. That's how he wants to do it. That's how he has designed it to happen. So if that's you, I want to encourage you to make that commitment. Commit to the church to get to know people, to get to know more and more people so that you can love them and serve them as well, and they can love and serve you. Now, I'm not talking about those who end up, you know, unable to get to church for various circumstances, right? In those cases where someone can't get there, the body needs to go out to them. But we need to all be committed to the body to be connected together as much as we can. Well, how do we make these interconnections of the body? Well, obviously Sunday is core to that, and before and after our church service are key times for that, right? Our morning tea time is always a great time together, isn't it? Let's make sure we use that well. Why not today, here's something very practical, why not today aim to go and say hello to someone during our soup lunch who you don't normally chat to? Go on, someone kind of completely different demographic from you, just go and say hi to them and say, hey, if you don't know each other's name, introduce each other. Introduce yourselves. And keep looking for opportunities to do that. You know, this also happens, these interconnections, happens through some people who are gifted to be able to offer hospitality, to have people over for meals. And through that, they'll make other connections with people. And sometimes connect other people together as they get multiple groups over. Others might be through going to visit someone or catching up with an individual. It happens through Bible study groups and so on. We will make deeper connections the more and more time that we spend together with each other. On Sundays, in Bible studies, around dinner tables, individually catching up in all sorts of circumstances. Then in that environment, with all these interconnections of the body, we then serve in the work of ministry. That's each part doing its work. You know, this is not simply filling rosters. You know, that might be part of it, but that's only part of it. To the degree that you have the capacity and gifting, we should all be serving in the ministries of the church. That's actually part of our love in helping build up the body together. The church is built up in love as each part does its work. Part of it serving in church ministries, part of it serving in other less routine ways. Like today, you know, some people have brought soups along, or by just getting in and helping with wash up or serving in whatever ways you see might be needed. Part of it's through giving. Part of it's through praying for our church. But there's a key way that I jumped over in verse 15 that Paul highlights. And that's speaking the truth in love. This is what we all should be doing. You know, we don't need to be on a roster to do this. In fact, we can't roster this. This is far more organic. Now, if I oversimplify for a moment, you know, some of us are more truth people, right? And some of us are more love people. We'll tend to lean towards one or the other. But if we're going to grow in maturity as a church, we need to hold them both together, both truth and love. Well, what is, I've given some examples of love already. What does speaking the truth involve? Well, it isn't less than just telling the truth. It's not, you know, so not lying, but it's much more than that. At its core, it's speaking the gospel to each other. Ephesians 1:3 calls the gospel the message of truth. We need to continually speak to one another of Christ as our rescuer and our Lord. Not only those with word gifts, the pastors and teachers, that we should be doing it, but all of us should be speaking the gospel to each other. The pastors and teachers equip the rest to keep doing this. Speaking the truth is also going to include encouraging people who are struggling, to, you know, encouraging them to keep going in faith and in hope, right? Keep helping them to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus and persevering through their struggles. It's going to include sometimes confronting sin in each other's lives or warning about a direction that we see someone going in their life. But of course, doing this in love, doing it for their good. What's some ways that we could do this during our morning tea time to start more and more speaking the truth, speaking the gospel to each other? You know, don't, in our morning tea time, don't only have conversations about how life is going or about current affairs and the world and all that. It's fine to talk about that. We should, because we live in this world, right? We should share and talk about those kind of things. But let's be intentional about asking how someone is going in their walk with Jesus. Ask if they've been learning anything from God's word recently. Ask if there's any ways that you can be praying for them at the moment. And you know what? Let's have the boldness, the courage, perhaps, to answer truthfully. Yeah, if we're struggling in our walk, you don't have to explain everything, but why not say, yeah, you know what, I've been struggling. Can you pray for me to grow in these ways? You know, if we have an environment of love, and I think we do here, right? We have an environment of love, then saying, being willing to say that to one another would be a great step towards growth. You know, that might sound scary, but can you imagine if we all started doing that? How much growth to maturity do you think Christ might bring about in us if we were continually having those kinds of conversations with each other? So as we conclude, this passage is really helpful in seeing how Christ wants us to grow to maturity as his body. He gives us all grace so that we can serve. But he's also given some to equip the rest so they can serve. Let me remind you, his four practical steps that each of us should have and should keep working on. Be committed to becoming equipped to serve the body of Christ. That's number one. Number two, make interconnections with Christ's body here at CBC. Number three, speak the truth in love to each other, especially the gospel. Speak of Christ to one another. Number four, keep serving in practical deeds of love towards each other and the body. Whether that's in ministries of the church or whether that's just serving organically as a body, we just get in and work together. And may Christ be glorified as he continues to grow us to maturity as his body. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you sent your Son, that he descended on his rescue mission to defeat our enemies, to deliver us from sin and death, to form us into his body through the Spirit. We thank you that he has gifted us his body. Father, please help us to keep growing in maturity in Christ as we're all equipped through your word. Help us to speak the truth in love so that Christ would keep building us up in maturity. Father, please do this work in us for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.